I call the president. President, we need the National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare, because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back, Jack. And it is 4-1.
Hold on, ball. Jackson has it. The All-American tight end is going in. And Oklahoma takes the lead on a 71-yard touchdown play.
I was going to rip his heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lynx is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody as ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like I'm Kinnear.
Yo! And welcome back to the Fix Sports Podcast, which is the realest, blackest, and funniest sports podcast you have ever heard in your entire life. I'm coming straight from the south, going down. Audio Shop Talk brought to you right in your ear holes by yours truly, Joseph Ward, right here on the Freedom Train Network at www.freedomtrainradio.com, where it really go down to stay down to be down all day and day. And if you don't know, well, you might as well tune in and learn a little something, because ain't nothing like expanding your brain and making your fame way much better because you're listening to your homeboy. Really going down. Hey, man, it's going down today. We're talking boxing. We're talking football. We're talking negotiations. We're talking women fighting. We're talking men fighting. It's just really going down. Hey, but you already know that the Fix Sports Podcast is brought to you. And if you don't know, you're going to learn that the Fix Sports Podcast is brought to you by On the Shoulders of Giants. And On the Shoulders of Giants brings you African history at your fingertips and on the go. The stories of the sons and unsung heroes of the African diaspora. And they do that through the On the Shoulders of Giants book series, the On the Shoulders of Giants blog, the On the Shoulders of Giants YouTube channel, the On the Shoulders of Giants African History Curriculum app, which is available for Android, and on the On the Shoulders of Giants website at www.ontheshoulders1.com. Also, the On the Shoulders of Giants online courses, which is available on Patreon at patreon.com/OTSOG, the On the Shoulders of Giants nonprofit organization, as well as face-to-face classes, lecture, educational sessions, whatever you need from On the Shoulders of Giants. They can do it face-to-face or digital. All you got to do is, once again, visit the website, www.ontheshoulders1.com. Information is available and works on smart boards, smart computers, smartphones, smart TVs, your computers, your tablets, everything. Just, once again, www.ontheshoulders1.com. So, we back, and remember, hey, also, while you are already on Patreon, go ahead and support the Fix Sports Podcast. Support the Fix Sports Podcast on Patreon, patreon.com/TheFix. Your homeboy needs some support. Go ahead, if you feel it in your heart, go ahead and support me. If God moves you to support me, already. And then, if you're in the Tallahassee area, hey, we only got a few tickets left. You want to be in the building? The Freedom Train Network has a live podcast. It's a collaborative effort between the Fix Sports Podcast, the Freedom Train Podcast Series, the Enigma Set Hour, and Shelby's World. All five hosts are getting together, and we're having the live podcast March 7th right here in Tallahassee, Florida, at the Twin Oaks Clubhouse in Southwood, starting at 6 p.m. So you want to be in the building. You can get your tickets at our website, www.freedomtrainradio.com, or our Freedom Train Network Facebook page, our Freedom Train Network Instagram page, and go to Eventbrite and hit Freedom Train Network, and bam. You can get your ticket. We got like three seats left. You need to get into the building because we're going down. Free food, free podcasting. We got performances by Miss Dice, Mike Jack Music, Shanika, and Enigma September. So it's really going to be down. Adrian TT Talks Bates will be our host. So you want to be in the building. She has an excellent podcast. Make sure you check out the TT Talks podcast. Go to Facebook and search TT Talks and you'll find her, and it'll take you anywhere you need to go. So, And then I sneezed before the show started and got my nose running a little bit. Got me in here feeling like I'm on them white lines. White lines. So what we talking about today, Willie? All right, so today on the Fix Sports Podcast, our HBCU Spotlight, we're talking about North Carolina A&T and how they swept the MEAC Indoor Track and Field Championship. Also, we're getting into Clarissa Shields and Layla Lee. And this ain't in the correct order, but you're going to get it. But Clarissa Shields and Layla Lee, we're talking about that. Recapping the Kobe Bryant Memorial. Talking about a gentleman named Logan Paul who wants to fight Antonio Brown. The state of Idaho is set to ban biological boys from girls' sports. Talking about the NFL, the new NFL CBA. Talking about the NFL Combine. Give you a recap, update and recap on week four of the XFL, which is exciting football. If you haven't watched the XFL yet, watch the XFL. It's live. And a weekly rant gonna go to Deontay Wilder for making excuses about losing that fight against Tyson Fury. Talking about his suit made his legs weak. So we're gonna dig into that and let his ass have it, crack some jokes and stuff. Hopefully he don't wanna fight me. So hey. Alright, so you know how we do it. You know how we start, you know how we get down, you know how we spark, you know how we say cause it really going down. Hey, going down. Cause it's about that time for the HBCU spotlight that shall let's bring that thing. And like I said, North Carolina A&T swept the MEAC Indoor Track and Field Championship, and this will be their last time doing that because, as I told you last week, they are leaving the MEAC. So, the Aggies become the first program to sweep men and women's titles for four consecutive years. I'm going to read that again. The Aggies become the first program to sweep men's and women's titles in track and field for four straight years. Bro, that deserves a round of applause just off top me reading that. You know what I'm talking about? That right there just deserves a whole round of applause just for doing that. You hear me? First program to sweep men and women indoor tights, men and women tights for four consecutive years. Ooh, baby, I like it. Roar. Yeah, baby, I like it. Roar. All right. The North Carolina A&T State men used a strong Saturday to win the 2020 Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference Indoor Track and Field Championship at the Prince George's Sports and Learning Complex, the program's fourth straight title. Four in a row, back to back to back to back. In fact, North Carolina A&T becomes the first MEAC program to sweep the men's and women's indoor titles in four straight seasons. Right, the Aggies racked up 165 points in the victory, while Norfolk State had 133 to take second. Bethune-Cookman at 100.5, Maryland Eastern Shore at 71, and Coppin State at 49 rounded out the top five. Damn, fam, you ain't even finished the top five. Goddamn, fam, what you doing, fam? You? So, Dwayne Ross was named the men's outstanding coach. One time, Dwayne! North Carolina A&T's Reagan Kemptie was named the meet's outstanding runner, winning three gold medals over the weekend, including Saturday's mile run, where he turned in a 4:18.37. Kemptie also won the 5,000 meters on Saturday and was on the Aggies' winning distance medley relay squad. Kemptie, that's what's up. Kemptie's mile victory was the first of four on the day for the Aggies. Root Randolph. That boy named Randolph. They still naming people Randolph? Gridley. 48 Hours must have been his parents' first, like, favorite movie. Randolph! Because they named this boy in college right now, in his teens or 20s, and named Randolph. Wow. But anyway, Randolph Ross, the freshman. And he a freshman. He 18. His name Randolph? So somebody still naming people Randolph in the 2000s? For the 99 to 2000s, you still naming people Randolph? All right. I'd be mad. You wouldn't call me Randolph. I tell you that. But Randolph Ross, the freshman who leads the world in the 400 meters, won gold in that event with a 46.25 before Jalen Mitchell gave the Aggies another win when he ran a 6.67 to claim gold in the 60 meters. Savannah State transfer Abbas Akbar ran a 1:52.50 to win the mile run. Aaron Lewis and Joseph Amoa gave Coppin State a pair of event titles on Saturday. Lewis blasted by the field in 7.91 to win the 60-meter hurdles, and Amoa further cemented himself as a world-class sprinter winning 200 meters in 21.09. Morgan State's Kobe Jordan Runes, the 2020 Outstanding Field Performer, won the triple jump with a leap of 1564 meters, and Carlin Berryhill of Bethune-Cookman defended his 3,000-meter win at the line over Norfolk State's Antonia Germa. Berryhill ran at 8:41.72. So, I'll read you all. So here is the men's All-MEAC team. So this the men's MEAC All-First team. Jalen Mitchell of North Carolina A&T, Joseph Amoa of CSU, 200 meters. Randolph of A&T at 400 meters. Abbas Akbar of Carolina A&T, 800 meters. Aaron Lewis of CSU. I don't know all of them. So I'm just say that. So I'm just say the names. Aaron Lewis, Reagan Kemptai, Carlin Berryhill, Ashani Beckfoot, Janoy Brown, Jonathan Robertson, Duvari, Wachu. Yeah, I don't know how to say that boy's name. So, I'm sorry. Akeem Lindo, Marquise McGee, Jacob Milton, Shamar Parker, Daniel Seawright, Kobe Jordan Rooms, Azad Williams, and Sydney Holston, and Marcus McCoy. So in the women's championship, North Carolina A&T State won the 2020 Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference Men's Women Indoor Track and Field title on Saturday at the Prince George's Sports and Learning Complex, the program's fourth straight title. So the Aggies finished with 165 points, while Norfolk State racked up 131 points to come in second. The rest of the top five was Bethune-Cookman, Madison, Eastern Shore, and Howard. Are they still talking about the men? Okay, so the Aggies won a total of 5 gold medals on Saturday after coming into the day behind Bethune-Cookman and the standings. Lauren James, who wound up sharing outstanding field performer honors with Bethune-Cookman's Monet Nichols, started the day by taking gold in the women's shot put at 14.58 meters. Nichols, who on Saturday won the women's triple jump, also won the long jump on Thursday. Tejerica Robinson beat her two nationally ranked teammates to win the women's 60-meter hurdles with a time of 8:12. And Delicia McDuffie gave the Aggies a win in the women's 400-meter after turning in at 54:13. Cambria Sturgis, one of the nation's best sprinters, ran the 23:61 to win the 200 meters. The Aggies also took gold in the women's 4x400-meter relay after clocking in at 3:42.07. Norfolk State's Martha. What's up with these names? They really named this girl Martha? They named that girl Martha. Wow. Martha Bissai probably was named the meet's outstanding runner, winning 3 gold medals on Saturday alone. She started by breaking her own meet record in the mile at 4:52.27 before winning the 800 meters in 2:09.17 and the 3,000 meters in 10:18.66. The Spartans also got a gold medal from Kiara Grant in the 60 meters. She tied the MEAC meet record she set last season with the 7:22. Kiara Ivey gave Florida A&M BAM! You! Today's first gold medal, winning the women's pole vault with a mark of 3.35 meters. So, the women's first team All-MEAC is Kiara Grant, Cambria Sturgis, Delicia McDuffie, Tycherica Robinson, Mark Tabissa, Aurelia, who last name I'm not going to even try, Peyton Russell, Sun Sarah Williams, Tori Ray, Najala Florence, Frida Koch, Malika Pride, Kiara Grant, Paula Salmon, Kiara Ivey, fam, you, Monet Nichols, Lauren James, and Thea Shaw. One time for everybody, man, let's give it up for everybody who became All-MEAC, who made that All-MEAC track team, and one time for North Carolina A&T men's and women's track sports going out there balling, and one time for the lady from Fab, you. What's her name? I forgot her name. Pole vault. Oh, shoot. What's her name? What's her name? For family, I just said her name. Oh, I ain't even on the right one no more. Kiara Ivey. One time for Kiara Ivey. If I ever see you on campus, Kiara Ivey, I'm going to tell you what's up. But one time for everybody in that HBCU spotlight there, Shell, because you know how we get down. We like to show that love. One time for North Carolina A&T for sweeping 4 years in a row. 4 years in a row sweeping the MEAC, being the MEAC champions in track and field, men and women. 4 years in a row, B. 4 years in a row, man. One time for them. And that there is our HBCU. For that HBCU spotlight, that shout. Gotta get down, make that thing now go down like you wanted to, that shout. If you don't go down there like you wanted to, shout, you ain't doing it right. All right, so earlier this week, Kobe Bryant's memorial was held, and it was a cool ceremony, but I'm going to tell you the part that I didn't like, that his parents and his sisters were not really recognized at all. They were basically ignored during the ceremony. It was made all about Kobe's wife, his children, and his teammates and other people, and his family was left out. But other than that, the memorial was good. Now, I'm going to be real, and it's just me. So I'm not saying I'm right, so you ain't got to listen to me, but this just me. I don't know if I would have been down to do it. You know what I'm talking about? Like, if I was, and I'm not in Vanessa's shoes, but I just feel like at some point they got to let this lady grieve, and this may be something that she wanted to do. So, like I said, I'm not saying I'm right, but I didn't feel like they owed anybody this, because when you live a full life and it seems as if Kobe lived a full life. When you live a full life, you don't owe anybody anything. Nothing is owed. Nothing is owed to anything. So yes, people were fans of Kobe, and some people wanted to be there, but neither Kobe nor his family owed anybody. I do want to say that, but it was a great ceremony, other than the family not being recognized. Kobe's wife spoke. Michael Jordan spoke. Shaq spoke. Diana Taurasi spoke. Some other people whose names I'm gonna find. Jimmy Kimmel was the host of it. Who else? You had Beyonce perform. Alicia Keys was there. Christina Aguilera, they performed. Michael Jordan spoke, Shaq, Diana Taurasi, It said more than 20,000 people, friends, family, and those who acquired tickets through a lottery. 8,000 applied, crowded into the arena with ticket proceeds benefiting the Mamba and Mamba Sita Sports Foundation. So that was, and I guess it was them honoring Kobe and things like that. So whatever, you know, mixed feelings about it. It's a good ceremony, but let the people grieve. But I'm not mad that they did. It's just me personally. It's just how Joseph Ward would do it. Hey man, let me be. But this ain't Joseph Ward's final thing on this. So they had a great time and it turned out great. Yeah, so it was a like I said, it was a good ceremony. A lot of laughter, a lot of jokes, a lot of stories. People learned some things about Kobe, learned more about his personality. Even Michael Jordan talked about how with him crying, the snot coming out of his nose, how they're gonna make another Jordan crying face. And what was funny though is somebody put a Jordan crying face on the crying Jordan. That was hilarious. But Kobe's wife did a great job of articulating how she felt, their relationship, and everything that went into her and Kobe's family. She did a great job of articulating that. I was wondering a bit, how did they go about picking the speakers? You know, Jordan, we know Jordan had to talk. We knew Shaq had to talk. I wasn't expecting Diana Taurasi to speak. I don't know the extent of their relationship, but I wasn't expecting that. I don't know the extent of the relationships between Kobe, Beyonce, Alicia Keys, Christina Aguilera, all of them. So I wonder how they were picked and all those things. But overall, I just be asking questions. It doesn't mean that anybody did anything. I'm just generally curious about how they went about picking the different people to be a part of this. Overall, it was a good ceremony, and shout out to Kobe, man. Kobe was loved, and you know, like I said before, he's a great example of living life to the fullest, being yourself, being the greatest version of yourself. You're gonna make mistakes sometimes, but growing from your mistakes and just giving life your all. And if you can do that, you will be amazing. So that's where it's at, man. So I would just want, you know, give a little quick update on the Kobe Bryant Memorial. And if you haven't seen it, of course, it's on YouTube. So go check it out. But one time for Kobe, one time for his family, one time for his mother, his father, his sisters, and everybody who loved Kobe, friends, family, fans, everybody. Shout out to Kobe. You know. So moving on. Something that considered controversial. So we've talked in the past about transgender athletes competing with biological athletes. And if you really look at it, it's a one-sided affair. So trans women are competing with biological women, but trans men aren't competing with biological men. And trans women are competing with biological women and dominating. Why? Because physical advantages, right? So the state of Ohio is set to ban biological boys from girls' sports, and that's what we're about to get into. And I've talked about, I agree. I don't have a problem with it. I agree. That's what I'm talking about, because I do think, like, that physical advantage, man, is hard to get over. It's hard to get over that physical advantage, and I think a category needs to be created specifically for transgender people. I do. I don't think transgender people shouldn't be allowed to compete, but I do think they need to be able to compete against people who they don't have a physical advantage over. That's why men don't compete with women, because men have a natural physical advantage. But it's the same thing. Just because you're transgender doesn't mean you still don't have that physical natural advantage, which is still there. So the view below from the Monty Python is a good argument for separating biological boys from biological girls in sports. And that's a clip from the Monty Python movie. A 205-pound transgender athlete doesn't really belong with the 105-pound daughter on the track and field or boxing ring. The politically correct and the LGBTQ community will scream we're hurting somebody's feelings as if that should be against the law, but they really aren't concerned about how the girls feel, which is a point, which has a point. And I've heard a lot of women complain, a lot of biological women complain about society or the PC political, the politically correct police PC crowd who are only worrying about the feelings of transgender women while blatantly ignoring the feelings of biological women. Like, if we're going to look out, if we're going to equality, inclusion, and that means looking out for everybody, it really does. It really does now. So Barbara Earhart was a big-time college basketball coach and now serves in the Ohio House of Representatives. We told you last week about her proposed law banning biological boys from competing against girls. She joined us this week on Magic Valley this morning. The representative from Ohio Falls still backs the Title IX provisions, but from her own experience, girls simply develop at a different level and in different ways. Across the country, 18 states already have similar laws on the books. Idaho can make it 25, as 6 other states are also considering the law this year. The issue is gaining traction as well as in other parts of the world. A champion women's cyclist in Great Britain is taking grief from the LGBT crowd for suggesting women will simply drop out of racing if biological men dominate the sport. The writer J.K. Rowling has also been criticized for related remarks. Earhart has been working on her bill for 18 months. There are likely many parents who will lobby on her behalf. You can hear her argument well, and there's a clip below your argument thing. But I mean, man, come on, man. Let's stop. Let's just be real. Let's stop only considering one group of people and consider everybody. Trans women should not be competing with biological women, the same as biological men should not be competing with biological women, or biological men shouldn't compete with trans men, with trans women. Or trans men. There are advantages there. A trans woman who's taking hormones, who's been taking hormones for an extensive period of time, put that person in a race against a biological man, the effect of the hormones that the hormones will have on that person over time will take away some of that. Some of the muscle mass and the strength, and that trans woman wouldn't really be able to physically compete with that biological man because some of the muscle mass isn't there. So let's look at it across the board. A trans woman, even though some of the biological advantage has been taken away over time, especially if we're talking about over time, is still an advantage over a biological woman. Trans women should be competing against trans women. Let's just be real. And especially, I told a story like last year about how you had a trans woman who the year before was competing as a man and didn't fare well, but the next year showed up as a trans woman and dominated. Man, let's stop lying to ourselves. Let's stop looking out for one group of people. Biological women shouldn't be left out, shouldn't be looked over to satisfy the feelings of trans women. No group of people should be looked at as superior or treated superior, or their issues is more of a concern than any other group of people. Let's just be real. We're all in this together. We got to start acting like it. We got to stop being afraid to stand up and speak what's on our minds and what's right, especially if we see things that are not going right and are giving an advantage or giving preferential treatment to one group over another. Let's stop it. So I ain't mad at Idaho and all these other states for banning biological boys from competing in sports against biological girls. If you were born a biological man, and you have a natural physical advantage, you should not be competing against biological women, no matter how you label yourself, no matter how you identify yourself. That's just real. Let's just be real about it. Let's just be fair and square across the board. So that's all I got to say about that. Hey, man, y'all tell me what y'all thoughts are. What do you all start, Tony? So, man, let's move this thing on like Maya. I be moving on. So, there's a dude named Logan Paul, and it says that he's fucking serious about a boxing match against Antonio Brown. And so when I first heard this, I'm like, come on, Antonio, what the fuck you talking about again? You in the news again for some fuck shit, bro? What the hell is going on between the sheets and Antonio's home, man? So some more shit going on outside of that house. So it appears NFL free agent wide receiver Antonio Brown is getting close to boxing YouTuber Logan Paul. So Logan Paul is a YouTube dude. So in separate interviews, Paul and Brown both said they're serious about getting into the ring against each other. I'm fucking serious, bro. Paul told TMZ Sports, you know how serious I take fighting. I love talking smack. I also love backing it up. That's what Paul said. Paul said the two sides might be closer than anyone expects. He's spoken with people close to Brown, who himself is seemingly ready to make the fight happen. He was calling me out for a couple of months. He said he wanted to fight me, that he's down to fight. So if old Logan wants to come, see if he wants to get a little rumble on, Brown told Zach Friedenlund of Complex magazine. So Brown said he has Floyd Mayweather Jr. willing to train him if Paul is serious about the bout. The social media uproar about a potential fight began with the two exchanging threats on Twitter, with Paul telling Brown he'll drop him faster than the Patriots. Oh, shit, that's funny. That's funny. Brown was released by New England. Yeah. So Logan Paul, the YouTube dude, said he wanted to fight. He wanted to fight Brown. So this is, you finna hear. If it play, you should hear. After this,
President Stacey,
hear something Stacey about Logan Paul.
You're in business.
LP, hey, I got asked about AP.
Antonio Brown is talking about.
So Logan Paul, the white boy.
Right now. Is y'all serious?
Hey, that tweet popped off, bro.
Hey,
AP, I dropped you quicker than the Patriots, my guy.
And he's the square up. So you think he's serious? Y'all serious?
I'm fucking serious, bro.
Okay.
You know how serious I take fighting.
This is
like this. You know, I love talking smack. I also love backing it up.
How close are we making this happen? You talking to promoters?
Yeah, we're.
Who are we talking to?
Teams are already talking. People are already talking.
I think we might be closer than anyone expects.
Really?
Even we
expect. In my mind, this whole thing seems like they say if it's too good to be true, it probably is.
This,
in my mind, that like I'm getting that feeling because I genuinely do not know how serious AB is.
Okay.
I think coming from a person who was in a shit position, like after Tokyo, and in many ways, like the KSI fight gave me a purpose.
Yeah.
I think this would do that for Antonio Brown. It'd give him a nice payday, give him a chance to redeem himself. It'd be obviously one of the greatest events of 2020 is what I've been saying.
I low-key see it how it could be how Mayweather and Conor was.
Yeah, absolutely agree. That fight was huge. I remember watching.
So that's a little bit of Logan. All right, that's Logan Paul talking. That was Logan Paul. So that's my first time seeing Logan Paul. If you haven't ever, do you know? If you don't know what he looked like, he looks like the rapper Little Dicky. Is a white guy look like the rapper Little Dicky? So I'm gonna just be real. You know how I do. I keep it. I shoot from the hill. I say what's on my mind. So AB, you can't lose this fight, bro. I'm just saying for the culture, you can't lose this fight. You can't let the white boy beat your ass, AB. So if you're going to fight him, you got to fight him, but you can't lose. Now, let me Google Logan Paul and see what he do in life. Because they say he's a YouTuber. So he's a YouTuber. Logan Alexander Paul is American YouTuber, internet personality, and actor, as well as posting on his own. Also, he ain't even like no real fighter or nothing like that. No real like trained fighter that I know of. I'm not sure. I don't know. Well, something say he'll cruise away. I don't know. Let me go to the Wikipedia thing. So, I saw something say cruiserweight, but I don't know if that was him. Oh, he had a boxing career. Okay. Well, actually, according to Wikipedia, he's only had one fight. He's a cruiserweight, 6'2". He only had one fight, and he lost that fight. So, I don't know. Fuck that shit. Tony O'Brien, you can't lose. So let me go professional boxing. Yeah. One fight, one loss. Tony O'Brien, I know you ain't no real boxer, nothing like that. And he look like he ain't either, but you can't lose this fight, Tony O. So you're going to be talking shit to this dude, white dude looking like Lil Dicky. You got to win, bro, just off GP, dog, just for the culture, bro. You can't lose. You lose. You already know you're going to end up in a weekly rant. You already know, AB, because you've been popping off. So I don't know who started it, but Tony O, if you're going to be talking cash shit to the white boy, you can't lose. Deontay Wilder already lost. Deontay Wilder already talked cash shit to Tyson Fury and lost in Black History Month with his Black History tribute. We're going to get more into that later. But come on. Tony O, you can't lose this fight, bro. I'm telling you, bro. Logan Paul. You got to drop his ass. You got to drop his ass. Somebody already whooped his ass. So you got to make him 0-2, Tony. You got to make him 0-2. You can't go in here and get your ass whooped in this fight. Because if you go in here and get your ass whooped, we got to let you have it, bro. We're going to treat you like Snoop, dog. You just be talking, dog. You just be talking. Come on, Kyle. Tony O. You can't lose to Logan Paul. I don't give a fuck. What? You can't lose to the white boy. You lose to the white boy. It's over for you in life. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying, bro. Don't lose Logan Paul. So, don't know when this fight's supposed to happen, but I guess they're working on setting this fight up. So, Antonio Brown and Logan Paul. So, speaking of talking shit, and boxing. Something I want to see. Bro, I want to see this so bad. So, Layla Ali and Clarissa Shields been going back and forth in the media about a potential fight between the two, which would be a very interesting fight because Layla Ali is 42 years old. So, she's aged. She's definitely past her prime. Clarissa Shields doesn't have knockout power, and her defense is suspect. And both have egos. This will be an interesting fight because, for one, Clarissa Shields will have to win on points. She's not going to knock Layla out. She ain't knocking nobody out. Let's just get that. You know, we love, you know how we feel about Clarissa on the show. We love Clarissa Shields, right? If Clarissa Shields, if you single, holla at me, Clarissa. I ain't going to lie to you. I get you right. But we love Clarissa Shields, but we be real about it, too. So Clarissa Shields ain't knocking Layla out because she ain't knocking nobody out. Our defense is suspect, even though our defense greatly improved between Hannah Gabriels and Christina Hamer. She was two different people defensively in those fights. She was greatly improved against Hamer than she was against Gabriel. But Gabriel looked like she was better than Hamer anyway. So so those are two factors, plus ego. And they both have ego, though. So, but Clarissa Shields allowing her ego to get into a match where she's exchanging punches against Layla Ali versus boxing, because if Clarissa Shields try to get in there and exchange punches, she's going to get her ass knocked out. Now, Layla Ali don't have great defense either. Clarissa Shields, like my man Pat said earlier, Clarissa Shields is a, and I agree with him, she's a better polished boxer. She is. She's a better polished boxer. And with Layla Ali, going back and looking at her film, she wasn't that fast. She wasn't that fast. Her defense wasn't that great either. But Layla will have the advantage of reach and power. And I want to say experience, but I think Clarissa done fought enough fights to have that experience. So it'll be interesting. If Layla wins, Layla probably would knock her ass out or maybe win on points if she can get it to exchange. But Clarissa would win on points, especially if she boxes. Clarissa would have to box against Layla. Don't go in there and try to exchange because I think Layla would knock her ass out. I don't think Clarissa would knock her out. I think Clarissa could beat her ass. If she boxes, she would beat Layla's ass, but she wouldn't knock her out. But it'll definitely be an interesting fight. I don't know who I would say would win. It depends on how. To me, Clarissa would dictate whether she win or lose this match. To me, it'll be all on Clarissa because I think Clarissa has the advantage and disadvantage. The advantage of being young, being faster, being more vibrant, having the rhythm, having been fighting. She has that. She's a better technical boxer than Layla Ali. But then the disadvantage is the ego, the defense being suspect, and the lack of power. So if Clarissa Shields comes in there on her shit, top game, Clarissa Shields, she'll win. She'll definitely win. But it depends on how she comes to the ring. So that's why I say this will be a fight where I can't really call it. I can see how both sides would win this match, so I want to see it. I want to see Layla Ali and Clarissa Shields fight. It'll be great for the sport of boxing. And how this all started, Layla Ali was on the Breakfast Club, and they asked her would she come back, and she basically said there was nobody for her to come back to fight. But she also said the money right later there every night. But she said there's nobody there left for her to fight, and which is a general shot to everybody and all the women in boxing. It is. It's a general shot. She's just saying they're not that good. And I don't blame her because women's boxing the competition ain't really that live right now. It's Clarissa Shields and everybody else, and Clarissa Shields is head and shoulders up better than everybody else. So I'm not mad at Shields for biting because this wasn't a shot directly at Shields, but it was a shot at Shields and everybody else. It was a shot. So Clarissa Shields bit back when she got the chance to talk and saying, well, Layla's talking that shit. Layla get her ass whooped. And so Layla, like, if they put the money up, if the money right, I'll fight Shields. So they've been going back and forth talking about fighting each other and things. So I want to see it. Ooh, I want to see that fight. Yep. That'd be a good fight. That'd be great for women's boxing. But I think Shields responding was brilliant. Whose idea it was for her to respond, it was brilliant. I'm here for it. It was brilliant to respond because it brightens Clarissa Shields' star. It brings Layla Ali back into the fold, and it helps the star of women's boxing. So more people will start to look at women's boxing because women's boxing needs somebody like Clarissa Shields, like a charismatic boxer like Shields, who would get people paying attention to women's boxing, which as athletes, which have good fighters, even though Clarissa Shields is still head and shoulders above all the other women fighters. So, because there's some young chick, I don't even remember the young chick name, but some young chick talking about she want to fight Clarissa, but this chick need about 10 more fights in her system because Clarissa Shields would destroy her. But that's my take on Clarissa Shields and Layla Ali. Tell me your thoughts. Comment on the post right here on www.freedomtrainradio.com for this specific podcast, for this post. Comment on the post on Instagram. Comment at Freedom Train Network, Facebook at Freedom Train Network. Email me, joe@freedomtrainnetwork.com. Onto my Twitter, at Freedom Train Net. Holla at your boy. Tell me what you think. Well, oh yeah, we're on YouTube. Wait, can't forget about YouTube, Freedom Train Network. YouTube, check us out. So that's how I feel about Layla and Clarissa. I want to see it. I need to see that. All right, so let's talk a little football, right? Because the NFL CBA is being discussed right now, and it don't look like the players in the NFL are on the same page. This headline, reading this NBC News article, and the headline is, how likely is an NFL work stoppage? Fields grow after marquee players announce opposition. So the subtitle is, quarterbacks Aaron Rodgers of the Green Bay Packers and Russell Wilson of the Seattle Seahawks have voiced their opposition to the opposed collective bargaining agreement. That's what I'm talking about. Stand up, football players. Stand up. Yes. Stand up. Get what you owe. Get what you deserve, man. Get your money. Get these guaranteed contracts. Get this money. Make them motherfuckers pay y'all. Hey, man, because, hey, we got the XFL out there. So he could have been speaking about the political climate when he addressed reporters Thursday in Indianapolis at the NFL scouting combine, but DeMarre Smith's blunt assessment referred to the labor negotiations between NFL owners and players. Man, democracy's messy, Smith, the executive director of the NFL's player union, said after high-profile players announced their opposition to a proposed labor deal. Although the current collective bargaining agreement, or CBA, between the league and the NFL Players Association isn't set to expire until after the 2020 season, the two sides have been negotiating a new 10-year agreement. The owners have already approved the proposal on the table, and it's now up to roughly the 2,000-member union to vote whether to ratify or reject it. So, but it's not immediately clear that will happen. Setting off fears of a battle between players and owners that could mean a work stoppage. One of the issues is whether to expand the regular season from 16 to 17 games. It's a fluid process, an NFL source told NBC News. There's a lot of discussions. The players are well equipped to make decisions. The players are engaged. If they vote no now, that doesn't mean they won't eventually get a yes. There's still time. Yes, there may still be time for the union's membership to change its thinking if the players reject the proposal, but at least one marketing expert says a no vote could mean short and long-term disaster. Mark Gannis, president of Sports Corp Ltd, a Chicago-based sports marketing firm who has consulted for many NFL teams, said one such looming labor headache is a work stoppage. A player lockout in 2011 wiped out the entire offseason before the owners and the players were able to agree upon a new CBA that summer. It would be a huge impact if the players vote no. Both parties will have to start getting into hardball negotiations, prepare for a work stoppage, Gaines said. There's that old saying, I have my lawyers and you have your lawyers, and when we use the lawyers, everything turns to crap, he said. One of the first things that happens if the CBA proposal is rejected is the environment changes, where each side is thinking about who wins instead of what's mutually beneficial for both sides. Of course, because the owner side been winning most of the time, so when the owner side gonna yield a bit. Last week, like I read earlier, marquee quarterbacks Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay Packers, Russell Wilson of the Seattle Seahawks voiced the opposition. Rodgers said of the proposed expansion of the regular season, 16 games to me was never something to be negotiated. The owners made it clear that the 17th game is about paying for the added benefits. It's about paying for the added benefits and had nothing to do with positive feedback received by any extra risk involved in the added regular season game. And you worried about player safety, but you want to add games. That's always been a something that the NFL been getting called out on for being contradictory about. Player safety, but you want them to play more games. Rodgers makes an important point about the players' health and safety. Still a hot button issue in the sport that involves violent collisions on nearly every play. But Gaines warned that players would consider the many issues at stake. If the proposal is rejected, the league would not be able to negotiate new broadcast deals. They would have to wait a year and a half. The window to strike great broadcast deals is now. And we've seen recently the world change quickly, Gaines said, referring to the stock market volatility over coronavirus fears in the coming presidential election. It is impossible to project a year and a half from now and whether it will be better. Gaines said the players get 55% of broadcast revenue, so it will benefit both sides to negotiate TV deals when market conditions are robust. Instead of the league making investments to grow the game and expand revenue streams, the league will focus on how to deal with the players. If the CBA proposal is rejected, Gaines added, think about it. A player's average career is 3 years. The average career of an owner is decades. If players think their leverage over the owners gets stronger because of the potential work stoppage, they're wrong. The owners have billions set aside for a work stoppage. The NFL source said 60% of the current players will be out of the league in a few years. So the decision to ratify a new CBA has as much to do with rank and file and NFL and star NFL players now as it does with those who will enter the league in the future. Well, yeah. That's where the NFL, the players use their leverage. All the players who have the leverage use your leverage, but the players have to fight. The players can't lay down to these punk-ass, old-ass, billionaire, money-grubbing owners, these greedy owners. The players have got to win. NFL players have got to get more leverage. They have to get a CBA that works with them that can bring more wealth to them, especially in the sport when you're putting your body on the line the way NFL players do. Baseball players got a better union, get better deals. Basketball players got a better union, get better deals. Football players got to get there. Hockey players got that. Everybody making more money than football players who put their body on the line like that. And the NFL got to get right. So, as much as I love football, I'm down for the stoppages. The owners can't continue to have this much power when the players are bringing in so much money and the players are so important to the folk. That can't be happening like that. So I'm down for the players, man. Work stoppage, man. Doing whatever they need to do to make sure that they get more money in their pockets. I'm down for it. So we definitely gonna keep our eye on this and talk about it more as the work stoppage moves forward. Not the work stoppage, but the negotiations for the new CBA move forward. So definitely gonna keep our eyes on that. And talking about the NFL, let's talk about the NFL Combine, which happened this weekend, right? Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We had this had the NFL Combine, and the young man from Clemson, the linebacker from Clemson, number 11 from Clemson, who's a beast, who won the Buckets Award and other award. He ran a 4.39 at the 40. A linebacker from Clemson ran a 4.39. So, that boy was out there flying, man. That boy was out there flying. 4.39. I'm trying to find this. I don't remember his name. But they're talking about. I'm looking at the CBS article, and they're talking about. Talking about Jeff Okuda. Entered the final day of the 2020 NFL Combine, the clear number one cornerback prospect heading into the draft, and while his Sunday didn't go as expected, the former Ohio State standout still projected as a top 10 pick in next month's draft. Okuda, who was unable to compete in his on field workout after falling on his head and neck area during the drill, he indicated he's okay via social media. Was just one of the storylines from the final day of the Combine. A day that saw the cornerbacks and safeties compete their own field work. Below are the day's top 40 times a month, along with Sunday's main takeaways. So these are top 40 times for cornerbacks. And we have Javelin Guidry, whatever, at a 4.29. Javarius Davis at 4.39, C.J. Henderson at 4.39, Troy Pride at 4.4, Josiah Scott 4.42, A.J. Terrell 4.42, Reggie Robinson second 4.44, Kendall Vildor had a 4.44, Michael Ojimuda at 445, Jerry Sneed 4437, Tanner Muse 441, some good speed. Jeremy Chin 445, Antoine Winfield Jr., my dog's son, 445, Terrell Burgess 446, Skylar Kyle Duggar 449, and Daniel Thomas 451. So them some, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, hold up, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. So we have 16 cornerbacks run under a 4-5. So the defensive backs, they only talk, this article only talk about D-backs. It seemed like it was a pretty good combine. I was able to watch some of the highlights from it, from some key players. Chase from Ohio State had a pretty good combine. Jalen Hurts had a pretty good combine. The people you really expect to show out, CeeDee Lamb, there's a lot of good receivers coming out. It's a real lot of good receivers coming out of this draft. So anybody looking for a receiver, this is the time to get your receiver. Herbert, as far as quarterbacks, Herbert, Burroughs, two of those top three quarterbacks who are being looked at. The running back from Wisconsin, he's something people are looking at. So it's going to be a good, it's going to be an interesting draft coming up. Definitely a great draft for receivers. So as more information come in about this combine, you know, I'll try to give it to you, update to you over the time. But I don't know, I'm just not, the stuff I'm going through, just not, oh, let me look at this, just not, let's talk about cornerbacks and safeties, but I don't want, give me the full thing. I don't want to talk about the DBs. Let me see if I go to this. I'm just a young player who's on the block. I get a black girl's dick and a white girl's cop. Yeah, they're not giving me the, I don't know. I have no idea why, but I'm not getting the information I want. I don't just want to be out here talking out my ass. So, yeah, Isaiah Simmons is the Clemson linebacker who ran the 4.39. So, Chase Young is a baller. Look out for Cam Akers. A sleeper is FSU running back Cam Akers. He ran a 4.5 and 40, but Cam Akers is a baller. I watched him for 3 years. Cam Akers is a baller, so look at him as a sleeper. Jonathan Taylor from Wisconsin, of course, look out for him. So, but yeah, that's the NFL Combine, man. Stay up on it, man. Stay up on it. I'm a find more information, and hopefully next show I have more information, more definitive information about the combine for you. So, real quick, the XFL Week 4 has ended, and XFL is pretty cool, man. So, the games that happened Week 4, Saturday, we had the New York Guardians versus the Los Angeles Wildcats, and the St. Louis Battlehawks versus the Seattle Dragons. The New York Guardians... So the Guardians won 17-14, and the Battlehawks beat the Dragons 23-16. So the New York Guardians had 17, and the Los Angeles Wildcats had 14. So the Guardians got the win. The St. Louis Battlehawks had 23 points, and the Seattle Dragons had 16 points. So that was Saturday game. So it's not. All right, give me Sunday. Let me look for Sunday score. Hold on. Give me Sunday. I don't want to give me Sunday. Nobody want to give me Sunday. So let me look again. see if I can find Sunday. Let me look at this. Hold tight. I'm just a young player who's on the block. So Sunday, one of the games Sunday, we had the, I'm gonna make sure it's the correct date. Make sure all of this is the correct date. All right, so Sunday we had DC Defenders and the Tampa Bay Vipers. So Tampa Bay blanked DC 22-0. And what was the next game? Let me find the next game. So the next game was the Houston Roughnecks at the Dallas Renegades, and the Houston Roughnecks beat the Dallas Renegades 27-20. So those are the scores from the XFL. Make sure you tune in to week 5. They got 10 weeks, man. They're finna be mid-season. If you ain't watched the XFL yet, but you might want to watch it. Might want to watch it. Gotta check it out to see what's really going down in the South. Know what I'm talking about? Hold tight. So, it's time for my weekly rant. And I got to give it to Deontay Wilder, man. Deontay, man, you got to get business, man. You're wilding, bro. And you bring this upon yourself. It's already bad enough. It's already bad enough that you lost to a white boy during Black History Month, trying to give a Black History tribute, walking out in the Black Panther suit. So let me just start this. Black Panther, the movie, has nothing to do with Black history or Black culture. It's a fictional superhero character created by a white dude. Black Panther, neither Black Panther nor Wakanda represent anything real in Africa. Right? You can like the movie, but let's stop treating Black Panther and Wakanda like it's real. Let's stop doing this real African heroes and this real African places. So I don't see how the Black Panther suit, the 42-pound Black Panther suit, plays into Black history. But Deontay Wilder said one of the reasons why he lost the fight was walking out in that Black Panther suit, which was 42 pounds, caused his legs to not be where he needed them to be. So let me read this thing a little bit from Boxing Insider. There's an expression called doing too much, which he was doing. It essentially means when an individual is doing far more than needed. That line seems to fit perfectly in this situation. Former WBC heavyweight champion Deontay Wilder was determined to make a statement both inside and outside the ring against Tyson Fury this past Sunday night at the MGM Grand Arena in Las Vegas, Nevada. Since we're currently in the month of February, which also represents Black History Month, so that's when the article was written, Wilder wanted to do a special tribute to celebrate a historical time. His choice, however, may have led to his downfall, and it has nothing to do with Black History Month, especially to my Black Panther, but that's just me. Wilder made his way to the ring sporting an all-black costume with red eyes. It looked pretty cool, even a bit intimidating, but it reportedly weighed over 40 pounds. While Wilder may have picked up a few cool points for his pre-fight outfit, his legs took a major toll because of it, so he said. Wilder stumbled across the ring and was knocked down during the fight. During the third and fifth rounds, from the outside looking in, it seems as though Fury was just the bigger, stronger, and better fighter on the night. And now the former WBC title is just looking for excuses for his poor performance, but that just isn't the case. So that my uniform was way too heavy for me. That's a quote by Deontay Wilder. So that's what he told Yahoo Sports by telephone. I didn't have no legs from the beginning of the fight. In the third round, my legs were just shot all the way through. But I'm a warrior, and people know that I'm a warrior. It could easily be told that I didn't have legs or anything. A lot of people were telling me it looked like something was wrong with you. Something was, but when you're in the ring, you have to bluff a lot of things. I tried my best to do so. I knew I didn't have the legs because of my uniform. My next question is an easy one. Why didn't Wilder try on the costume beforehand? He did, but clearly he didn't leave it on long enough. I was only able to put it on for the first time the night before, but I didn't think it was going to be that heavy. It weighed 40-something pounds with the helmet and all the batteries. I wanted my tribute to be great for Black History Month. I wanted it to be good, but I guess I put that before anything. Now, somebody found the clip. Of course, you know how I don't like about people going and digging through things, but sometimes, you know, information is information. So somebody found the clip of Wilder talking about him training with like a 42-pound vest or something like that. Training with something that he would have on him that weigh about 40 to 42 pounds. So he has a history, according to this clip, he has a history of training, of at least training with that much weight on him. So according to all that, that wasn't new to him. But once again, why didn't you try a suit on, and why did you put all that? Come on, stop with the excuses, Wilder. You got whooped. Yeah, your legs look funny, but you got whooped in this fight. Tyson Fury was just a better fighter. We all knew Fury was the better boxer going in, and the excuses make you look crazy. The excuses make you look weak. You couldn't get your right hand off. Fury beat you down. And your excuses are not helping you. It make you look crazy. It make your whole supposed Black History tribute look even weaker, even worse. Like, give it up, bro. Just say, man, I lost the fight. Just say he was a better fighter. Get ready for the third fight if that happens. I really don't want to see y'all fighting again, but I know it happened again. But come on, man. The excuses have to stop. You are making yourself look bad, and you're better than that. Because, for one, Deontay Wilder talked too much. He talked too much junk. He talked too much junk, and he's very sensitive, right? Especially to the media, social media, and people saying things about him. And so there have been all type of videos, memes, all type of things made about him and his excuses and things. Because it's just weak. It's just weak. Wilder, stop it, bro. Stop it. Stop, because it's making you look extra, 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 extra weak out there, bro. Extra weak, and you're making your tribute to Black History Month look extra weak out there. If you wanted to, you know, praise your ancestors and do something great for your ancestors, your first priority should have just been to win the fight. Winning the fight in Black History Month. But not only did you lose the fight in Black History Month, but you came up with these weak-ass excuses at the tail end of Black History Month. So you ended Black History Month on a bad note, and you look crazy, and you sound crazy, and you need to stop talking. Stop talking, Deontay Wilder, because you sound weak. You look weak. You sound crazy. And you're giving people more ammunition to blast at you. Giving people all the ammunition they need to let your ass have it. Come on, bro. You got to do better than that. Like, it wasn't the suit. You got your ass whooped. Tyson Fury is a better boxer than you, and you got your ass whooped. It wasn't the suit. It just call it like it is. Just say that. Be a man about it. Stop blaming everything else. Stop blaming the suit. You got your ass whooped. That's just what it is. Let that shit go, bro, because the more you talk, the worse it gets for you. And the last thing we want to do is to see you not only losing during Black History Month with all everything you did, but looking weaker and weaker and weaker as a person trying to defend that shit. If y'all going to fight again, just get ready to fight again. Shut up. Don't say nothing. Get ready to beat. Either get beat or beat his ass. That's all it is. And that's all I got to say about that. Hey, man, this is Joseph Ward. This is the Fix Sports Podcast, Season 5, Episode 4 of the Fix Sports Podcast. Appreciate everybody who tuned in. Remember, Our home is www.freedomtrainradio.com. Remember, March 7th, I have the live podcast in Tallahassee, Florida. If you're in the area, go ahead and get your ticket. Be in the building. It starts at 6:30. You can go visit the website, www.freedomtrainradio.com, to get your tickets. Or you can go to Eventbrite, type in Freedom Train Network, go to our Freedom Train Network Facebook page, or at Freedom Train Network on Instagram. It's in the bio, in the link tree in the bio, the first link, get your ticket. Be in the building. It's really going down. Amen. Just how we do it, man. I love doing what I do. I appreciate all the listeners, everybody who listened in to the Fix Sports Podcast, everybody who support the Fix Sports Podcast. I appreciate y'all. We keep it doing how we doing. Y'all the family. Hey, man. Catch y'all on the other side. Catch y'all at the next episode. Two fingers in the air like a player, man. I'll see y'all. I'm up out of here. Peacington.
I call the president. President, we need the National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare, because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back, Jack.
His heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lynx is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm from Air Force. There's no one that